Hello, everybody. This is episode 24 of Sean Hammer. Today we're going to be going over the Dark Elf Army book. I know it's been out for a while, but I haven't done it yet, and I'll give you my views today. First, let's go over what's going on in the hobby lately for me. Well, I'm painting some dryads, and that's pretty positive, considering the fact I don't think I painted anything in about over a year. So, wish me luck on that, and hopefully the army comes out looking pretty dang good. So far, so good, though. Alright, now we're going to go ahead and hit the Dark Elves. Okay, first we have special rules. We have Cainites. This means that some Dark Elves are dedicated to Cain, and only Cainite characters may join Cainite unit. In addition, certain special rules and magic items only affect Cainite units differently. The Cauldron Blood, for example. Note that the Cainite characters still may join non-Cainite units, and this means that you could use something like a Death Hag as a leader for a unit of Dark Elf Warriors if you want. Well, that's that. We'll get through that one. But the most important rule Dark Elves have is the Eternal Hatred. Models with this hate all opposing models. It's explained later in the rulebook. But is in addition, such as their desiccation of their cousins when they're fighting against High Elves, happens every round of combat, just not the first. So that'll be the big motivative drive for the Dark Elves, as we'll see. So let's go ahead and go through Lords. I'm going to go ahead and skip special characters because not a lot of people actually play with special characters, even though I think everyone should be playing with Malice Darkblade because he's the greatest Dark Elf ever. But anyway, first we have the Dreadlord. He's ringing in at 140 points. He can ride a Dark Steed, a Cold One, a Dark Pegasus, a Manticore, a Black Dragon, or a Cold One Chariot. He can have 100 points of magic items. He has a Weapon Skill 7, Ballistic Skill 6, Strength 4, Toughness 3, unfortunately because he's an Elf, 3 Wounds, Initiative 8, 4 Attacks, and 10 Leadership. Your basic Lord, I think that possibly, except for the Eternal Hatred and the Mounts, it's pretty close to a Wood Elf Lord, but bite my tongue if I'm wrong. Next up, we have Supreme Sorceress. Basic Wizard stats, 3 strength, 3 toughness, 3 wounds, 9 leadership. She has her Eternal Hatred as well, and she can use Juchi sorceries, which we'll go over that in a few. She can take up a few mounts, pretty much the same as the Lord, minus the Cold One Chariot, and that is about it for that. She can have 100 points as well. Next up, we got Heroes, which are your baby versions of the two that I explained below, above, or just did. One is a Sorceress. She has 100 points, pretty much the same stats, with one less leadership and 2 wounds instead of 3. Max level she could be for Wizard is second level. She can only ride a Dark Steed, Cold One, or Dark Pegasus, and that's about her. Next up, we have a Master, which is the Baby Dreadlord. Not a bad buy for 80 points. Can ride quite a bit of few stuff, minus the black Dragon. And you have 50 points of magic items. And the different one we have here is the Death Hag. She's 90 points. She's basically a Witch Elf character. And she can be, believe, the Army BSB. And she's the only way you can get Cauldron Blood in your army, which we'll go over that in a bit. I haven't had too much experience with the Cauldron Blood, though. Me and my wife, we do own it. And hopefully we'll be able to see what that can do in a bit. It really benefits if you're running all Cainite army or large amount of Cainites. But let's go ahead and go on the troops. We have the Dark Elf Warriors. Pretty stable unit here. Leadership 8, 3 toughness, unfortunately, 3 strength, 4 and a 5 ballistic skill. A 4 and a 4 ballistic skill and weapon skill, 5 movements. All your elves can move at 5 inches, so you get a little bit of speed bonus on foot with your Dark Elves. These guys come with hand weapon, spear, light armor, have Eternal Hatred for only 6 points a model. Not bad. You can upgrade them for 7 points to give them a spear. Relatively good choice for a core unit right here. They can have a magic standard up to 25 points, and a nice solid unit. And I've run 1 or 2 units of my Dark Elves as it is. My wife, I know she runs 1 right now because her favorite choice is up here in a second. Next, we have a Dark Elf Repeater Crossbowman. 10 points model for these guys. Hand weapons, Repeater Crossbow, Light Armor, Eternal Hatred. For 1 point, you can upgrade them to with a shield. The Dark Elf Repeater Crossbow is fantastic. It's it is strength 3. You can shoot time 2 times with it with a multiple shot. With the Dark Elf's ballistic skill 4, pretty decent choice for range combat. Well, it's really one of the only choices in the Dark Elf book, but it's pretty sweet. The nice thing about it too is that even though it's got strength 3, it is still armor piercing. So it's pretty solid missile weapon. Plus, you don't have to be hit with the whole crossbow thing like the Empire do or Dwarfs, where it's either move or shoot. Next up, we have Black Corsairs. Black Art Corsairs. 10 points per model. Pretty much the same stats that I follow above for the Dark Elf Warriors. But these guys have two hand weapons, light armor, and they have a Sea Dragon cloak, which offers them a 1 plus armor save in hand-to-hand, or offers them a plus 2 armor save against missile weapons. These guys can carry magic standard up to 25 points. They can swap under the hand weapons for a hand bow, which is a baby repeater crossbow, or you can give a pair of hand bows to Reaver for 3 points. Nice unit here. Nice trade for possibly one of the special choices, which we'll go over in a second, and that will be the Witch Elves. With certain banners, you can turn these into armored Witch Elves, so to speak. Next up, I love Fast Cavalry. I don't know how I feel about these guys. Certain armies, Fast Cavalry works for me. I don't know how it is for Dark Elves. I don't tend to use these, but my wife does own them. They're the Dark Riders. They have the same exact stats as a Dark Elf Warrior. They have an Elvish Dark Steed, which gives them a 9 movement. They have a hand weapon, spear, and light armor. They are fast cavalry unless they're armed with shields, which they become medium cavalry, and that would be silly. You can upgrade them with a repeater crossbow, which is nice, giving them a 360 degree shot at anything with 24 inches. Not bad. I don't know how I feel about the 17 points model plus with the repeater crossbows. That takes you up to 22 points model. I'm not 100% sure, but I did run a unit of Wild Riders in my army with 26 points, so you take your good with the bad. Next up, I think, which is a great core unit, but it doesn't count towards the minimum number of core units you can include in your army, and these are going to be Harpies. They are a flying unit, and they have they're beasts. They do, the Rata said that they do benefit from the General's leadership, but they are only looking at Strength 3, Toughness 3, with 5 weapon skill, but they do have 2 attacks. For a flying unit, skirmish unit, this is pretty much, I always try and work a unit of at least 5 Harpies into my army that's good for taking out war machines and march blocking. Next up is the core choice, but it's actually a little character. It's a Dark Elf Assassin. This bad guy, he's bringing up 90 points, weapon skill, ballistic skill, 9. Still only toughness 3. He's got 2 wounds and 3 attacks. He can take Gifts of Canes up to 75 points. He's got a whole bunch of special rules. He's got Eternal Hatred, Canaanite, Scout, Poison Attacks, Hand-to-Hand Weapons, and the Hand Bowl. He always strikes first. He's hidden, and you can't use him as for leadership, even though he's got fantastic leadership. Now, this guy here, or girl, if you got a female assassin model, he can hide in a lot of different units, like your Corsairs, your Witch Elves, your Dark Elf Warriors, and he can come out as needed and assassinate enemy characters. I mean, he's a good little surprise unit, and we'll get to that in a little bit of tricks that you can do. For model speaking, the next unit, which will be breaking into the special units, are the Witch Elves. We're looking at 1 attack under base stat. They are standard elf stats, but they do have 2-handed weapons, giving them 2 attacks, and they have frenzy, boosting their attacks to 3 attacks apiece. All their attacks are poisoned, and they have the eternal hatred as well. They can have a magic standard up to 25 points, and I like them. I mean, 3 poison attacks apiece. I like the models. Fits with nice flavor of the army, and I think they're pretty solid. I like them. I can't say nothing bad about them, but a lot of people do. Next up, we have Shades. 16 points a model. Basic Dark Elf stats. These guys here, they can skirmish, scouts. They have Eternal Hatred. They come with a repeater, crossbow, and hand weapon. These guys here, they're pretty nice, especially if you're popping a assassin in the unit and you're throwing one of the assassin weapons, which we'll get to in a minute, Rending Stars. Come out and you can, like, cap somebody. But we'll get to that in a moment. Next is the Executioners. Fan-freaking-tastic looking models, but not worth in stats. I mean, they're only 12 points apiece, but we're looking at, they have Strength 4, they come with a 2-handed weapon, taking up to Strength 6, Initiative 5, but so unfortunately, because it's a 2-handed weapon, they're going last, and they only have 1 attack. They do count as Canaanite units, so if you're using the Cauldron of Blood combo there, I guess they're really nice, but I do like the models. I do have a unit of 10. I don't know what I'm doing with them yet. And you can have I know I'm not going to talk about special characters, but they have unit upgrade special character. Next up is Cold One Knights. Basic stats, minus the fact that their strengths, well, they're 4. Well, actually, Executioners are strength 4, and not strength, basic Dark Elf. But the Cold One Knights, they have strength 4, and they actually have a 9 leadership, and that plays in big because, unfortunately, they suffer from stupidity. They cause fear. They have thick skin, internal hatred. The equipment they have is a hand weapon, heavy armor, lance, and shield. They can have a standard worth 50 points, and plus the Dread Knight that comes in the unit. He can have a magic item up to 25 points, and that's going to come in handy. It gives you a nice little, like, baby champion, basically, throw one there. He's going to have two attacks. And this is a nice shock troop unit, considering the nice heavy hitters if you pass your stupidity test. Next up, Cold One Chariot. Dark Elves on Cold Ones. I'm not a big fan of chariots yet because I don't have them. I used to run them a lot in 5th edition. And my undead army had buttloads and buttloads of chariots. So I don't have a lot of experience with them. But basic Dark Elf stats and with a Cold One. Next up is a unit my wife likes quite a bit. And I didn't find them really that good off the start. Because I like the models for the Executioners, but the Blackguard. These guys have hand weapon, heavy armor, halberd. They get Eternal Hatred, immune to psychology. They got Warrior Elite, and they're stubborn. They can have a magic banner up to 50 points, and they are busting out a weapon skill 5 with 2 attacks apiece. Leadership 9 and stubborn for 1. Warrior's Elite allows them reroll to hits every turn, so the Eternal Hatred kicks in, and plus their immunopsychology. Nice freaking unit. This is what a lot of people are calling the Death Star unit, which they'll throw a nice big chunk of these guys, their general, plus assassin in their BSB, and they really pump through, which will get their nice hard unit to have. That's it for specials. Up next is the rare. For 100 points, we have the Repeater Bolt Thrower. One of the greatest, I think greatest, War Machines in the game. High Elf Secluded, unfortunately. It's a... Oh, my page came out. Really great war machine. Shoot 4 bolts. You shoot 1 for strength 4. No armor save. You shoot 1 bolt for D3 wounds. No armor save. Really good. Guys have Eternal Hatred, so if they do get charged, they might stand around the combat or so. But what's really nice about this unit as well is that you 2 repeater bolt throwers are counted as a single rare. So that allows you, if you're playing a smaller game under 2,000, you can only have 1 rare. You actually can pump out 2 bolt throwers. And last but not finally least is the highly functional, beautiful model, the Hydra. This guy is 175 points, better off in points than the Vargoth, does more than the Vargoth, better off points than the Hell Pit Abomination, and is most arguably on terms with being one of the best monsters in Warhammer outside of a dragon. This bad guy here, he's got pumping 7 attacks. Toughness 5, strength 5, 4 weapon skill, 5 wounds. So this guy can bust ranks. It comes with 2 Beastmasters, which are pretty much standard Dark Elves here. But what makes this nice is the Hydra's so large, it's hard to beat the handlers. If the handlers die, they don't count towards resolution or victory points for the Hydra. But we're talking the Eternal Hatred effects on the mount, or the mount, the Hydra. And the handlers. The Hydra has a 4+ scaly skin. It's a large target. It's a terror causer. It's got fiery breath, which gives you a flame template weapon based on the amount of the strength and amount of wounds that your Hydra has. It has regenerate. I mean, and the Beastmasters have the Beastmaster Scourge, which is a strength 4 and +1. It's armor piercing as well. I mean, this monster is probably the bee's knees of all Warhammer monsters right now. In my 1250. Point list I have right now, I got a Hydra. I should have run the bolt throwers, but well, for Christ's sake, the army box I bought came with a Hydra, and I'm gonna play the damn Hydra. So that's it for the army units right now. We're going ahead and we'll touch on the Cauldron of Blood next. I've always liked this model. I liked it more in the old days when it was based on a chariot, so to speak, but I always liked the whole thing of the Cauldron of Blood because I really like the Witch Elves. The special rules for this thing is has Eternal Hatred, Frenzy, Canaanite, it's War Machine. This thing causes terror, has a magic resistance 1, and all the attacks coming from this are poison attacks. It comes with some attendants. It's a Death Hag and 2 hags. The Cauldron gives the attendants a 4+ ward save. The attendants never pursue, even though they have hatred, and the Cauldron cannot be damaged. And if you got any hits that are allocated against it, it can't be damaged or ignored. What's nice about the Cauldron, and this is a little bit better than what it has been in the past, is it's got the Blessings of Cain. And what this means is that at the beginning of the turn, you pick a single friendly unit within 24 inches of the Cauldron, even if it's engaged in close combat. And this effect will last until the start of the next player's turn. It's not a spell, so it can't be dispelled or otherwise stopped. And a unit can be affected by 1 blessing at a turn. But what's nice is, units that have the Canaanite rule also become, let's see, blessings of Cain, the attendants engage combat, 1 blessing middle start of turn, after all psychology tests are taken. Altar of Cain. All Canaanite units within 12 inches of this cauldron are stubborn. And don't forget, your witch elves and hags are stubborn as well. So it gives them, unfortunately, leadership 8, but it counts as a battle. You can have a battle standard bearer. Here we go with the Blessings of Cain. You can give a unit the Fear of Cain, which gives them a +1 attack. The Strength of Cain, which gives all models a killing blow ability. You get the Blood Shield of Cain, which gives all the models in the unit getting +5 ward save. And from, I never thought you could move with this, but apparently you can move the cauldron around too, so it gives you a nice little, I guess it's supposed to be a little badass piece, and I'm going to play it for Christ's sake. Let's see, we Dark Elf Magic is up next. I'm going to go through that. It's a little bit special. And basically, you got your Dark Elf spell itself. As soon as I find it, I need to tab these books off. The spell they come with is Power of Darkness. It casts on a 4+. With the Power of Darkness, it says you cast this spell in addition to all the spells that you roll for your Dark Elf Sorceress. If successfully cast, the wizard immediately gains D3 +1 power dice. They're added to those dice available for the Sorceress, and you keep them in a different pile to represent that. If the dice cannot be used to dispel spells or stored from turn to turn, any way possible. For each of these dice that's unused at the end of the turn, in the magic phase, the sorcerer suffers a strength 4 hit. So if you're going to generate these dice, use them or lose them or die. That's what I say. But let's see. For Dark Elf spells, we have Chill Wind, my favorite. Basically, magic missile. You hit a unit that has missile weapons. If they take casualties from it, they can't shoot. Doom Bolt, magic missile. D6 strength 5 hits. Word of Pain. You cast it 7+. One enemy unit within 24 inches. This can be cast in combat. You'll start the next magic phase. All models and affected unit have their weapon skill and ballistic skill reduced to 1. Next up, we have the Blade Wind. It's 8+. You target one enemy unit visible to the caster within 24 inches. This spell afflicts 3d6 strength 4 close combat hits. You can put one of these attacks to be allocated against each character and champion in the unit, if you will. Next up for a 10+, we have Soul Stealer. Target one enemy unit within 12 inches, which may be in close combat. Every mono unit takes a strength 2 hit when no armor save is allowed. This is nice, especially if you got a nice unbreakable unit, beefy unit cavalry to play it against, then you can't beat their armor save. Strength 2 is kind of hard to hit, but it works. Each unsaved wound causes one wound to the caster, adds one wound to caster, so it can actually heal your sorceress, if you will. And the final spell is the Black Horror. You're going to take the large template and you place it anywhere within 18 inches of the caster. All models touched by the template must pass a strength test or suffer a wound. No armor saves allowed. And if any unit suffers one or more wounds, they immediately take a test for panic. So that's Dark Elf Magic. Pretty potent. And let's go. I'll go through the gifts and magic really quick, but I'll only lay off what I find useful for myself, I guess. Gifts of Cain, a lot of little goodies you can take. Your Death Hags and your Assassins can only take Gifts of Cain. I mentioned the Rending Stars, and this gives you a range 12, strength as a user +1, thrown weapons multiple shot x3. Which is really nice. You take the potion of strength. If you got this, if you can take both, you boost it up. I know Shadowbane can, so. There's a bit of toxins and poisons you can take. I guess I'm not going to go over too much unless you plan on using a hag or an assassin. It's not going to be very good to you. So let's go ahead and go through the Treasures of Neggaroth. Go through a couple of these that really are going to make a difference. For Enchanted, not so much. Where are you at? Talismans. We have the Ring of Hotek. For 25 points, you can put this in a guy, and any wizard, friend or foe, attempting to cast or target a spell within 12 inches of the wearer will suffer a miscast on a roll of any double. Nice. Throwing a guy on a dark pegasus, so run him out in the middle of the field and hope to God you can make him the miscast. I like it. But where are you at? And here's the stuff right here. The Pennant of Kaleth. 35 points, one of the best friggin' items in the game, is this gives the award save based on the strength of the hit. Roll a d6 for every wound suffered by the wearer. On a roll of equal to or under the attack strength, the hits are ignored. Rolls of a 6 are always a failed. So this is a reverse ward save. So let's say you had a unit of, you're playing against Dark Elves. Unit of Dark Elf Cavalry, Cold One Knights coming at you. They're coming in at strength 6. You take the wounds, they're going to wound you. Especially because you're toughness 3, but your ward save is a 6 or under. So it is a reverse ward save, and probably one of the most potent magic items you can give one of your dreadlords or your baby dreadlords. And you're going to see this a lot in tournament play and also games. It's worth its weight in gold. As for the rest of the magic items, they can be pretty cool. The one I want to mention is the Sea Serpent Standard. Only Corsairs can take this standard. It's 25 points and a huge unit is subject to Frenzy. So basically right there, you took a unit of Black Art Corsairs, turn them into unit Witch Elves with armor, minus poison attacks. I like it. I'm going to try it in the build. And that's it for the army. And now I'm going to go through and tell you what the hell is worth taking. Dark Elf Warriors, of course, you got to have something. Repeater Crossbows and Corsairs, solid troop choices. The Dark Elf Spearmen or Warriors, I always make them Spearmen. They're going to be a nice solid block for you. You can hide your wizards into them. Really good unit. And there's a couple of magic items, or at least one, that you can sacrifice wounds in a unit to give yourself power dice for your sorceress. Black Art Corsairs are nice. Hit or miss on them. I'd stick with the Spearmen, cheaper and more effective. Crossbowmen, of course, are golden, and I take those any day of the week. You should always have a unit of 10 in your army, no matter what size you play. The bigger your army, another unit you should have. Dark Riders, not sold on them yet, but I do like the Harpies. Harpies are solid, a nice flying unit that can basically screw up somebody's day. On a special, of course, I like the Cold One Riders. The Black Guard are really nice. I love the Witch Elves. Let's see. And, I don't know, I like the models for Executioners, but I don't really know if I'm ever going to run them as a viable option in army list. For specials, you can't go wrong. Unfortunately, a lot of people play comp in a 2,000-point army. If you're going to take two rares, you can't take four bolt throwers or two hydra, you get knocked with comp. And a lot of times, if you even do take your one rare choice and you take two bolt throwers on hydra, you're still gonna get knocked with comp. So this is why I feel if you're playing something with a comp and you're playing dark elves, go to the fact that you're playing one of the most evil races in Warhammer history. Have fun, enjoy yourself. Who cares about what the other guy's whining about or not? If they wanted to whine about it, they want to play something that's just as hard as your army, hell, buy dark elves, VC, or demons. I don't know, I like the army. A lot of good flavor to it. Add to the fact that I like reading the Malice Darkblade novels by Dan Abnett, and they make it much more fun to even add a little bit of imagination to your army. Nice dark color scheme. I think if I work on my own army, and not actually my wife's, I'm probably going to do in bolt guns and chainmail colors, and with blue, so they kind of remind me of the vampire army off of Underworld Evolutions. That's what I'm shooting for anyway. And I know one of my listeners actually wanted me to go through and say, hey, I have a dark elf army. Besides obvious fact I'm gonna get internal hatred, what are some things I can do against the little bastards, because they have to always strike first in the superior magic? First and foremost is I would say assassin. I don't take them a lot of times, but against a high elf army, I would keep them nice and hidden until that time where you really, really need them. Challenge comes out, bust out all your tricks that you can on your assassin, and laugh hideously, because the assassin's got the always strike first rule as well. And the ruling for always strikes first is it goes on initiative base, and if the initiatives are tied, roll off. And he's got high enough initiative, he's going to go before a high elf player. Another thing you can do against high elves is, I know I'm not a big chariot fan, but remember that impact hits do happen before anything else. So if you charge high elves with impact hits, especially swordmasters, they're not going to be able to strike first against your impact hits, and you can remove models in the front rank that are going to attack your chariots and stuff like that. And hopefully you don't boff and get a roll of a one with your skied wheels, and hopefully you do a little bit more damage than that. Also against high elves, take advantage of let them taste hydra. That's what I say. That hydra is the biggest thing that you got in your army. It's got high enough toughness up against everything but the, I would say, sword masters and the white lions. It's got high survivability, especially with the regeneration and the scaly skin, which the scaly skin will be negated by the sword masters and the white lions, so to speak. Go ahead and let your hydra run frenzy, man. That thing's awesome. With the units I mentioned that'll ruin your day, sword masters are one of them. A beautiful unit, great rules. If I was playing high elves, you bet your ass I'd be playing Sword Masters. You gotta shoot them. Shoot the piss out of them. They only have heavy armor, bolt throwers, and repeated bolt throwers. Oh my, give it to them the whole time. Don't charge them. Let them charge you with those units if you can. Spring a stand and shoot on them. Try and get the best that you can on them. Just dwindle the unit down. Unfortunately, Cav can't really, I mean, they're nice, but you charge those units, they're gonna strike first. Your heavy armor's negated, basically, because they got the two-handed weapons. And my general idea for staying away from friggin' those units is just stay away from them. Just ignore them. And remember, if they're spending 300 points on or more on a Death Star unit of Swordmasters, you pretty much won if they don't get to do anything. So just, unfortunately, you have the same movement as High Elves, and then you're not going to outmaneuver them because you're moving at the same thing. Their horses move at 9, your horse moves at 9. Your magic is good, but it's going to be at par with the High Elves because of their drain magic spell that they have. And just use hatred to your benefit. I mean, you're always going to sit there and you're going to reroll all your hits. Unfortunately, one thing that a good High Elf player is going to do is bait your units because you have to charge them because of hatred. And they'll run you down and they'll do a little pincer moves on your units that they bait. So be careful about that. Make sure you keep your army tight. Don't let things falter out of place in your battle plan. What I like to do is put the Hydra in the middle of my army, just so it can cover either side pretty well, especially if you're keeping a tight formation on an army. A big key to beating High Elves with Dark Elves is when you do obliterate them, and it will happen. Sometimes it'll be a harder fight than what you think. Now, you don't laugh to yourself immensely. I mean, because playing Dark Elves really is fun. It's a nice looking army, and right now on the tournament scene, they are one of the top three armies out there. I mean, you have Vampires, Demons, and Dark Elves. I mean, there's a reason why they're in one of the top three. High Elves aren't on that list, so don't get psyched out against the High Elf players. The big thing too, that always strikes first, you know, with your strength, your toughness to either strength 3. Yeah, it's gonna suck a little bit, but you may not have the range on your missile weapons, but you can fire more shots at armor piercing rules. So you know, just don't sweat it. Use your higher toughness armies, and that's how you beat the High Elves. And the Hydra, I mean, a lot of people, it's ridiculously under cost. I mean, it's not even funny. That's going to be it for the Dark Elves. If I did a good job or not, guys, just let me know. You know the my email address. And please, I've gotten some iTunes reviews and some great comments from some of you. And I do appreciate that. Like I said, you can catch me on Facebook or Twitter. My battalion is what I'm probably going to run kind of like the forum on. I'm going to throw up some pictures of stuff that I have painted. And you can contact me through there if you wish. Be my friend on either that or my site. Until next time, which we will be going over Blood Angels, which is a 40k army, and you guys knew that, stating the obvious, but they are a sweet army. Models are neat. I never thought I'd enjoy a Blood Angel army, but I do, and I'm not going to get into it because Space Wolves are still the way I'm going, and I just gotta keep telling myself that. So remember, guys, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. Until next time, enjoy yourselves.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.